In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Holy Gospel this morning from St. Matthew begins with our Lord's exhortation. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. He then concludes with the exhortation, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This opening exhortation for awareness of all the false prophets that oftentimes surround us seems particularly poignant for the age in which we find ourselves now. To say that it is an age of confusion would truly be an understatement. It is difficult to know where to look, how to understand, and what judgments we should make. Whose voice should we follow? To whom should we listen? To whom should we pay heed? These are not invalid questions. They are necessary to our daily lives to make sure that we follow the course that God has in store for us and do the things that God asks us to do. And of course, we look to Holy Mother Church as our mother to be our guide, to give us that direction that we need to make sure that we are always sure-footed in the directions as we seek heaven and strive here on earth to do and live in the right way. And yet at the same time, as we look and as we try to decide, there are so many signs to the contrary, so many voices competing, and all of them saying that this is the truth of the Catholic faith, or this is what Christ truly meant, or this is what Scripture meant to say, or this is how it was understood, but this is now how it is understood. And in the midst of that, we have to make our own decisions. But that might be the most perilous thing we could possibly do. The voice that we should trust the least truly is our own voice. And the judgment that we should subject to constant scrutiny is our own judgment. Not because we are not intelligent people, not because we are not knowledgeable people. A case can certainly be made, given the nature of all the media technology that exists in the world, that we are a very knowledgeable, information-laden society and culture. There is so much out there that we have access to give us information, but therein lies part of the problem and the difficulty. There is so much to sift through, to try to understand, that we simply don't have enough lifetimes to go through it all. And even if we had all of those lifetimes, even then, with all the knowledge that we have, there still should be a natural distrust of ourselves. This has been the constant disposition in the spiritual life, especially among the saints, the holy men and women who have gone before us. The one person that they refused to listen to was themselves. Not because they didn't know, but because they put greater trust and confidence in the Lord. Not because they weren't endowed with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that allowed them to live the holy life that eventually elevated them to the altars of God. But it was precisely that humility, and maybe the most difficult of situations, that they chose to cast their cares upon God and Holy Mother Church instead of relying upon themselves. And so it makes very sense that at the conclusion of our gospel, the Lord also then bookends this exhortation with this other reality that we must trust in God. Do the will of my Heavenly Father. And so therein lies the question, what is the will of God? Does that remain elusive to us? Does it remain beyond our grasp? And of course, the answer is no. God has clearly articulated for us what his will is, that all men might be saved, St. Paul says to Timothy, and come to the knowledge of truth. God wills salvation for us in very simple and unassuming ways. Fidelity to his commandments, living out his life of beatitude, living a life of charity, in sacrifice, in love. Will that require sacrifice from us? Most definitely. Will it oftentimes provide us with the clarity we need to muddle through all the confusion in the world? And the answer is yes, it will. Because in the final analysis, what is rewarded is not knowledge and not information. As much as we might know and much as we might amass, what is rewarded, what God gives fidelity to, is those who remain faithful to Him. It isn't just intelligent people in heaven. Quite the opposite is true. There are a great many more people who may lack intelligence at the altar of God and seeing Him face to face than those who thought they knew better, understood better, had greater knowledge. What are the practical implications of this, brothers and sisters? Is that the world becomes more confusing. And that confusion has seeped into the very fabric of the life of the church herself. People are walking away from the church left and right. Conservative, traditional, progressive, liberal, whatever title or appellation you want to apply to yourself. People are moving here and there, disagreeing with this and that, making up their own minds and going their own way. I am right, they say. This is wrong, they say. This is the truth, they say. This is what we must understand, they say. Who is they? And how did it come to pass that I or you became the arbiters of truth? When did we become our own magisteriums? And by what power have we been endowed to make our own decisions about the truths and the foundation of the life of the faith? Those aren't rhetorical questions. How has that come to pass? It's come to pass because 600 years ago, Protestants decided to do whatever they wanted to do. The protesters protested. They broke faith. They destroyed the covenant. And they set in motion a disposition some 600 years later where we believe we all can do the same. When I don't like it, when I don't agree with it, when I understand it, when I don't accept it, I will simply pick up my ball and I will walk away and I will play my own game. So be it. Many have done that to their own peril and the perdition of their souls. I won't allow that to happen to me, certainly, but I will also not allow that to happen to you. Because as I have said to you before, I cannot get to heaven unless you get to heaven. That is how my life actually is as priest. It is inextricably connected to your holiness and your salvation as a matter of practical order. This is not a pie-in-the-sky theological concept. I need you to strive for this holiness and obedience, and the best way for that to happen is for me to strive for holiness and obedience. To, yes, lead you and to guide you, certainly, but to do so by not following my own judgment. Do I have all the answers? On a good day, I might tell you yes. As a matter of fact, I do. And that's when you should run away, because I will be living out the very thing I'm telling you not to do. But if I give you what the Holy Mother Church provides you, then you should pay heed, because it doesn't belong to me. It never has belonged to me or to you. It does belong to us as the body of Christ, as God's faithful sons and daughters. But therein lies what is necessary, the faithful son or daughter who stays in and out of season, who remains steadfast, most especially in times of confusion and persecution. It would be so easy to walk away, to craft a church in my image that made it comfortable for me, where everyone followed the things that I said, however it is that I said them, whenever I said them. But that is not how salvation comes to our house. Salvation is given to us by being prudent, yes, by guarding ourselves against the false prophets who tell us lies and lead us astray, yes. But we discern that with God by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, by our fidelity in relationship to Our Lady and allowing ourselves to rest comfortably under her mantle. And we do that by striving to do the will of our Heavenly Father. When in doubt, keep doing what you're doing. Pray. Go to Holy Mass. Recite your rosary. Go to confession when you're guilty of sin. Strive to love your brothers and sisters, both those you like and those that you don't like. Try to live peacefully with men in the world, even if they themselves have no peace for you. And always preach the truth with charity, love, and compassion. That sounds a lot of things that need to be done, but if you want to boil it down to something very simple, love as you have been loved. God loves us completely and totally. God loves us not in spite of our sins, but aware of them and desiring to forgive us of them. God has suffered and died in that love in order that we might live in that love. The example is always clear. The will of God is always available and understandable to us. What is required from each of us is fidelity and obedience. And if we ask of God this grace, it will indeed be bestowed upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.